Episode 226.
As we're talking about the new technology that's coming out, great. We saw some really great and really cool stuff that's coming down a year, two, 5 years down the road. But there's stuff right now that's being repaired that's either being repaired wrong or not repaired at all. That's scary to me. So when we put together a program like this, I think all of us walked out of there like, this is really awesome material. It's great content.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to On Point from Remarkable Results Radio, and a special interview from an auto care industry professional.
On Point.
Welcome, aftermarket professionals, to episode 226. This is Carm Capriato, and you're set for an inside track on the ASA Connected Cars program. Hey, are you ready to listen in on a compilation from 17 of your industry peers? Well, you are in the right place. This episode is brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts and Garage Gurus. For serious technical training and support, online, on-site, and on-demand, Garage Gurus is everything you need to know. Find out more at fmgarageGurus.com. Hey, I was in Detroit on May 18th and 19th, 2017, at the ASA Connected Cars event. Organizer Donnie Seifer brought industry trainers, automotive engineers, and service professionals from all parts of the country to learn about rapidly advancing vehicle technology. We got an important glimpse into the world of the connected car. For many participants, this brought a deeper understanding of future technologies and what it will take to diagnose and repair them, and to even consider how business will be done in the not-too-distant future. Safety is one of the driving forces behind the ADAS systems. That acronym is Advanced Driver Assistance Systems. In the two-day seminar, we heard from some of the top tech trainers on how these systems work and what it's going to take to diagnose, repair, and calibrate them. We always have a show notes page for every episode. There you'll find a listing of all participants in this interview, and it's remarkableresults.biz/E226. As with all Remarkable Results Radio podcasts, you get way more information for the price of admission. Join a discussion from an in-studio roundtable along with a man-in-the-street interview section that I recorded during the first night reception. In all, there are contributions from 17 of your industry peers. Listen carefully. You'll hear discussions on the course content, personal thoughts on this new technology, new business models, and the opportunity that modern technology will create for progressive operators. That and more hot and trending talking points. I'm happy to bring you the pulse of this event so you keep in the know and motivate yourself to attend an event like this soon. Keep an eye out for the exciting ASA programs being presented for you at Apex 2017. By the way, I'll be at Apex 2017 in studio. I hope we can meet up. Now, listen to this exceptional, call it remarkable, compilation of the ASA Connected Cars event, May 2017. Hey, welcome to Detroit. I'm in my incredible studio that ASA provided me. I've got some great podcast alumni here, and near the microphone, right off the chute here, is Dan Risley, president of ASA. And you know, I did some one-on-one interviews at the reception last night, Dan, and I got a lot of people to talk about what their first day was like, and now we're into the day and a half. And I don't know, I can't retain it all. I mean, the guys that are here that actually turn wrenches for a living, own and run shops, are probably moved by what's coming up in the future. What are people telling you, Dan?
Actually, first off, Carm, thanks for being here. That's number one.
Oh, thank you.
The thing that you just touched on a little bit was turning wrenches. And actually, that's a term that maybe doesn't resonate with everybody, but I think it probably resonates with the people that are listening. But I think the point I'm trying to get to is the program we're listening to today has less to do with turning a wrench and has more to do with firing up a computer and using analytical brain power to do a job. So it's almost an acronym that's going to be phased out probably really quick. If you listen to any of the presentation today, the days of turning a wrench are going to be long gone.
You know, every time I hear that stuff, I get this white lab coat thing going through my mind, you know, because engineer, the last guy who presented was an engineer. Imagine spending just a day and a cup of coffee with that guy. The point is that you're right. This is all about technology. I don't see one bit of room for a DIYer in this whole scenario, and especially the way the technology, it looks like technology is changing, mm-hmm. that the OEs are having, not on purpose, but they need to have bigger, better, faster ways to get information in and out of the cars today. So all of the access points are going to be changed. And please, gentlemen, Frank Leutz is with us. By the way, Frank Leutz, Bill Nalu, Greg Buckley, Ray Fisher, Joe Hansen, Jeff Buckley. What a great group. There's going to be a lot more joining us, and this is just going to be a round-robin discussion. Frank, your opinion here.
Well, my goal coming here, first and foremost, to compliment Dan, thank you for all you're doing to get the message out. And it's these kind of things that we can listen to later and dive in and study on. And so thank you for coming out. My goal coming out today was really to, you know, this may sound odd, we've talked wrenches, we talked laptop tune-ups, we talked all these things, but the marketability of this technology as it relates to our small enterprises and corporate America. As a small garage owner, it means a lot when we can get a handle on what's coming down the line for information as it relates to how we can be the credible experts and continue that in our communities. I know, Bill, you do a lot of stuff in the community, and so what's your thoughts on technology?
Well, my biggest takeaway from this is, and it sort of started right at the beginning with Donnie Cipher, probably one of the first slides, was that it's about saving lives. It's about the benefit to society, first and foremost, and where we fit in this huge seismic shift in our industry.
Dan Risley, you brought up a few great points. I could see the collision side of the industry really having to really pay attention, because no longer can the insurance companies really say you're going to put Y part in when it really needs to be A part from the OEs. We talked about the cameras and so on. That's huge.
So some of the presentations that we heard today, I think the collision industry should be represented more in that room. It used to be you have collision and you have service repair shops. And it's almost, as you're listening to the presentations, it's almost a blended approach now to repairing cars, where we need to be in the same room together for these conversations, because it's going to change the way we do business. Not to say what we're doing individually in our own locations, but it's working together with the service repair shop. I mean, I'm a collision repair shop. I'm not probably going to make the investments in all the equipment that's necessary to do the repairs that we heard about today. I probably won't make that capital investment. There's just too many cars that are out there. But I will partner up with my local service repair shop that probably is the professional in that area, has the skills, has the training, and it makes more sense now to have those partnerships.
So guys, let me ask this question about equipment. I mean, you saw a lot of interesting things today about what kind of tools are necessary to calibrate all of the technology that is on the vehicle, especially if there is a wreck and a repair and an alignment, even something as simple as, what were they saying, if you had to do something on the front of the car, maybe the alignment would be an issue. Do you see yourselves investing in them, or like Dan says, will there be some go-to guys? You bring the car and they've got their bays set up with the right distance, the right cameras, the right lasers that are going to get the sensors back into calibration. Such an interesting new, it's almost a new cottage industry that's going to come up. The calibration expert, almost.
I mean, last week or the week before, the discussion was, you know, there's good news and bad news. I think it would behoove us, and the smart guys in the room know that we're not in the bad news business. We're only in the good news business. The good news is it's going to be either the greatest blessing for this industry, or it's not. And it's not dependent on the industry. It's dependent on our outlook out there. So for me, the qualifier is to constantly bring up the level of expectation. The professionalism, the higher we can bring that up, the faster we can bring that up, the better this is going to be. It's a challenge. There's a lot of investment, but those of us who are in it to win, to provide the industry, the infrastructure that it's trying to build, I think it bodes well for us. And there's going to be consolidation.
Bill, it's a great point. Why do they call you Billy Knuckles?
You'll have to ask Mr. Leutz here.
I was just curious. I always thought of him as Bill Nalu.
Well, why do they call Greg the Blue Hen of Delaware?
Did you ever look at the man's knuckles?
Yeah, exactly.
Greg, your opinion on technology calibration, how do you see that?
Well, it's funny you mention it. I mean, you know, sitting in the room, and listening to all of the technology coming down, I'm trying to bring all that in and you're focused on, well, what do I need for equipment-wise? And you're right. The calibration room is something that I talked with my son and son-in-law. I said, you know, guys, I said, we're going to have a dedicated room in order to have these, have it an optimum situation in order to make this car go down the road the right way. I mean, if you're thinking that they're coming in for a water pump, oh, by the way, because of your car design, we're going to have to remove the front clip, and therefore we're going to have to recalibrate your radar, LiDAR, cameras, and everything else, the cost of the job is increased. But in order to be efficient, it's going to have a dedicated room. And to partner with someone in collision, that'd be fantastic, because I don't think that they'll make that investment.
To compliment what Billy Knuckles had to say in terms of sort of elevating our game, one thing I think that technology is going to quietly do for us, it has been for quite some time, is bring us together a little more and a lot more, because we're going to have to rely on each other. You know, so for example, if Greg, you decide at your place that you're going to dedicate one or two bays to sort of aligning all of this LiDAR, radar, cameras, and so on for your local collision shop or for the two other garages that you have a relationship with, and maybe they're not going to spend, you know, the 50 or 70, 100K in equipment, what does that do for our industry? It brings us together. And when we come together, we're aligning our future in intelligence and so on.
Well, I think one of the things that I also listen to is that we want to be cognizant of what's coming at us too, because as we're investing in equipment, we don't want to duplicate equipment. We're seeing some more diversity from the car manufacturers working for common goals too, which will hopefully reduce our costs as far as repair facilities are concerned within the industry. The other part is I think we're seeing how paramount communication between the collision and the mechanical repair industry is, in the sense that just like the service industry asks questions to their customer, does it happen when it's hot, does it happen when it's cold, things of that nature, you're going to be asking these questions to the collision repair facilities too. What happened in the accident? Where was it hit? Because you need to know exactly what to be looking for or focus on during the course of repair.
Yeah, stepping back a little bit, for me, you know, looking at the, you know, what they've been talking about for a day and a half now is there's so much opportunity for us, right? Because what we do is we serve our customers, we help them get to where they got to go safely. So this, you know, when I look at this, you know, maybe some shops might be scared by it, maybe they'll, you know, maybe some will bail out even, right? But I think for the shops that are really looking to take care of our customers, we have a huge opportunity here. And it kind of reminds me back to when my dad had the shop many, many years ago, and it, you know, went from carburetors to fuel injected, and people bailed, right? And they thought, that's it, it's over, it's done. And now look at the industry, it's bigger and better and more profitable and more fun today than it's ever been. So when I look at these changes, to me, it's very exciting, because I personally don't like turning a wrench, I don't like getting dirty, I don't like any of that. But the computer part of it, that's fun, right? And I think that we're going to attract, you know, we have a technician shortage right now. We have people just not interested in the industry like it used to be. I think this is one of the biggest opportunities for all of us to get that word out. You say LiDAR to a, you know, a techie guy, or radar, and they're thinking, what's that all about? That's a great way. It's cool, new, and it's
almost like thank you, OEs, for building all these "quote unquote safety systems," and I think that was one of my big takeaways. This wasn't autonomous. This was all about safety, building systems to make us safe. Bill, you and I were sitting next to each other, and he talked about how many people get killed on the road, and that's what this is about, safety. Now, here's my next, my biggest takeaways. I was sitting there, I says, "Wow, how privileged I am to be here. I'm learning more than actually is in my own pay grade." And I'm so respectful of that. But how about the consumer? Are they ever going to appreciate how hard you have, what you have to do to, in order to keep these cars at that safety level? And then can you be paid for that level of knowledge and expertise?
That's the language that we, as shop owners, that's what we translate. When Joe speaks of wanting to keep his hands clean, that's what our job is. Our job is going to be to take what is above our pay grade, frankly, you know, all of the systems and the hieroglyphics of can and this and that, and to translate that to the customer to be able to say to them, this isn't like, you know, your EVAP code in the system and you don't want to spend $110 or whatever for us to diagnose it. This is something that is going to, this is your safety. You know, this isn't, you know, your remote start may not work because, you know, you can't, you know, this isn't an inconvenience. This is a safety matter. And so it's for us to be able to translate to the customer to build on, you know, we've got car count problems. Hello, right? Imagine if we have calibration stations where they've got to come in maybe twice a year, and you've built that into an appointment system so that just like your teeth getting cleaned, you know, Frank has mentioned this before. Imagine if we did business the way dentists do.
I was just thinking there was a point made about the European driver and the European driver. I'm thinking, how can we get the European driver thought process with the American driver? Because the European driver says, yes, you can have my car. Yabol, you can have my car for 3 or 4 days. It's okay. And I know it's going to cost and so on. So I thought that was interesting because will we ever have that? Probably not. But I think in expanding on sort of dominating in this new arena of technology, you know, that's another level of value that we can present as the credible expert in the community.
I'm talking with Mike Zralik, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Mike, are you an extension of the technical support center we all know as Garage Guru?
Most definitely. You know, I spend a lot of time there. I'm involved in all the classes that go on there. I actually host classes there, such as our ASC test prep courses. So very much so an extension of that.
Mike, you're in the shop. So what's the greatest outcome that you see from the techs and service advisors that you're spending time with?
Not only are they learning about great product, but we get to talk shop. So, like, you know, I was in a shop earlier today, and we were talking about some electrical diagnosis he was doing, and he was actually having a problem finding some schematics, and we were able to work with that and talk back and forth. So I was able to get educated on a problem he's having in the field, you know, where I can share that with others, and I can share other ideas from other people with him.
Do you actually put product in the hands of the technicians?
You have to. That's, you know, in this industry, a lot of guys are like myself. You got to touch it, feel it, play with it. You know, just telling them about features and benefits isn't going to sell it. You put it in their hands, that's going to sell it hands down.
So you take the new Wagner OEX brake pad and you put it in someone's hands. What happens?
First thing they do is say, wow. You know, and then they start asking questions about the unique design of it, the unique shape, and the purpose of that. You know, and they're very blown away by the technology that we put into it. They're amazed by it, and they're loving it.
Eyes light up, aha moments.
You bet. You bet. And why is it taking so long to get this out in the market?
And I need them, and I want it right now.
Exactly.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com.
Greg, you are doing so much in your business to rebrand yourself, to put your, you know, customer transportation
mobility
strategy on. What's your takeaway with all this learning today?
I think it's really making the business model I wish to do more relevant, more concrete. You know, when we had the example of where you can't have a vehicle overloaded on the rear end because your radar will be off and you'll have all kinds of problems. Well, that's a training event for the consumer. So who's the experts? We are. And it was interesting because as we were just chatting here, for the first time, and I talked to Bill and Frank this morning, for the first time, we actually billed hours on reprogramming a radio, setting up a Bluetooth connection for a client who just got the car. We had to take his radio, sync it with his phone, teaching him everything. So we billed 0.7 hours. It took my tech 15, 20 minutes to do it. He was happy. But that was a first time that I said to myself, I'm not giving away this skill set. I'm going to charge appropriately because we deserve it. And that's the thing that we have to
do. You're selling your intellectual property.
Yeah. And so
What does this look like on YouTube here in the next couple of years? Are we going to have guys in their garage trying to tell you how you can line up radar and cameras? I don't think so. So I think this brings, well, probably. There'll probably be some quick, easy, simple YouTube way to fix it.
But Frank, I think you started out, Carmen, asking about the do-it-yourselfer. And you're probably going to see a YouTube video, but you're not going to make the investment in the equipment, right, if you're a do-it-yourselfer. So I would almost go so far as to say the do-it-yourselfer, the DIYer, is probably a DOAer. We're probably not going to have them floating around much longer. I think it's a technology of...
I love that.
They're going to go away. But if I could, I just want to add one thing, and this is maybe a little bit broader perspective. So we have, obviously, thought leaders here in the room. As an association, my biggest takeaway here was that both service repair industry and the collision repair industry are in trouble right now. So as we're talking about the new technology that's coming out, great. We saw some really great and really cool stuff that's coming down a year, 2, 5 years down the road. But there's stuff right now that's being repaired that's either being repaired wrong or not repaired at all. That's scary to me. So when we put together a program like this, I think all of us walked out of there like, this is really awesome material. It's great content. But we have 100 people in a room. That is a microcosm of the entire industry. So it's great to have people like Greg and Frank here who are able to spread the word through social media and through their programs. Carm, obviously having you here allows us to proliferate the word. But how do we get it out to 60, 80,000 shops that aren't here? That to me is the bigger concern because those cars are in the shop now. And so while the consumer is going to get the ultimate benefit of having this great new technology, there's the downside of that too. And so everybody knows how to repair those cars. Repair times could be longer. Repair bills could get higher as people play the game of trying to figure out how do I fix this? Because what I normally do didn't work. So maybe I need to try this. Maybe I need to try that. And then maybe at some point you give up and I have to call Frank or Greg or another one of the industry leaders to help me figure this out because I don't know how to do it.
We'll take a short break from this in-studio roundtable and take you to reactions from participants at the first night reception.
So, Donnie, how'd it go today, your first day?
Well, it went better than even I thought it was going to go. That training in there was amazing. So a lot of smart people in one room on both sides. The people that were listening and the people that were talking were so smart that the questions were way up there.
I remember you and I talked at Vision. We did a podcast. And you promised to deliver. And so far, day one, you have.
Oh, it was awesome. Some of the speakers I had never met before, we talked to them a little on the phone. And I'm like, this is going to be good. But, we were talking about Debbie Bazina, and, I mean, she knocked it out of the park.
So she took the word autonomous, and she made the word, say, automatic. What's your opinion of that?
Well, I think, as I told you, she's got more PhDs than an average hospital does, so I'm thinking we should take her word for it. So she's saying that instead of a vehicle that's doing everything for you, she's seeing vehicles that do lots of things, but the connectivity between cars will be first, and that makes perfect sense.
Thanks. I can't wait for tomorrow, man.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Carl.
Hey, Pete Rudloff, how was today?
Off the charts good.
And I'm sorry to interrupt you. You're in chicken wings, man. ASA knows how to take care of everybody, don't they? Dave Cusa.
That was a fantastic day. Looking forward to tomorrow.
Did you learn anything?
All day.
All this high-tech stuff.
I think I have 7 pages of notes.
Good for you. With Greg Potter, who presented today, he's the executive manager and COO of ETI, the Equipment and Tool Institute. When you and Bob were up there from Volkswagen, you guys were rambling off so many of these SAE codes that really control so much of what goes on in the industry. How do you keep track of all that?
It's very difficult, and sometimes we kid ourselves that we make our own alphabet so that we keep other people out, but basically it's just being around it for a long time that it starts rolling off your tongue, but it's very difficult, it's very intertwined. And you find out the people that are very involved in these SAE meetings, once they're in, they never get out. You know, it's like the Hotel California, you know, I guess is that they say, you know, you the only way to check out is to die. But because they get very involved in OBD, and the OBD guys are a close-knit group. Well, sometimes they move from company to company, but they're all the experts at OBD, and that's what they do.
I was so impressed with the challenges that are coming up with running out of codes.
there's a lot of challenges coming up, and that running out of codes is one that we see coming. We're worried about it, but we also know that we've got ways around it. We can fix it. But there's a good way to fix it, and then there's a poor way to fix it. Either way, it'll work. Looking now into the future and saying, let's just go to UDS, we can fix it the right way. We just got to convince regulators, and not just regulators, but like next week I'll be at the I&M Solutions. It's where all the states that do IM testing meet. Every state that does OBD testing would have to change their software, and that's a big issue for 30-some states that do OBD testing. Some of them can't change their software for 10 years because they're still running on a DOS platform, and there's no money. So it's very difficult to make a change like that.
Here's Tom Pipo. What'd you think of day one here at the ASA Connected Cars?
Man, it is just mind-boggling. Some of the stuff that we have to look forward to, I'm glad I'm here. I get a preview of it.
Bob Wills, what'd you think of
today? Well, I was impressed, and I'm looking for retirement. Well, from a business standpoint, either you're going to be in or you're going to be out. But we're going to have to know it.
Think of the profession that we're in. I mean, this just helps us realize that we're more valuable than ever. Roy Schneppner?
Well, I think from the collision side of it, we're already deep into this. So today was great. The Delphi guy did a great job of with the cameras and the sensors and stuff like that.
Dave Hobbs sure made us humble. So I'm with Greg Buckley. What did you think of day one?
Mind blown, day one.
I've interviewed 5-6 guys, the same word.
Oh, yeah, this is incredible. If everything comes to fold that they were predicting, the profession has one heck of a future ahead of it. And we got a lot of work to do. But the technology is so exciting. And coming here, meeting over 160 of our colleagues from across the country is fantastic.
Greg, Debbie from GM, she's got a very important job with them.
Oh, my God, she's amazing.
And she took the word autonomous, and she said, I don't think so. And she used the word automatic. What did that mean to you when she said that?
I thought she brought some common sense to the conversation that everything isn't going to be autonomous. This mystical thing of saying cars are going to drive up to your driveway, pick up grandma, grandpa, the kids, the dogs, all that. It's not going to happen in the way that we all think it is. So there's going to have to be a combination of still practicality. And a human driver is going to be part of the car for a long, long time.
Do you remember when Mobile One first came out? And they said that oil could go 25,000 miles. And the world basically said, no way, right?
Right.
And I always equated that to a marketing. They just missed the marketing point. Is it possible that the word autonomy is a poor marketing word? And maybe the word automatic may be better suited so that the consumer may not be so afraid of the word autonomous?
I think that's a very good point. Autonomous, when people hear that, they are afraid. They hear the stories. It only takes a couple of instances to say, hey, no autonomy for me. Autonomous cars for me. Automatic is a much better word. Again, it's more practical. It definitely helps people think of that in terms of, okay, if it's automatic, that means it's more, reactionary to what the car goes through. So if I'm a little off track on my steering, it'll automatically correct it. I'm still behind the wheel. I'm not on the side. Those type of things come into play. So, yeah, I think it's a better marketing word than autonomous.
So today was knocked it out of the park. I can't even imagine what tomorrow is going to be like.
I think it's going to be amazing. I mean, if you look at what we got, VW coming in, they're going to do some live displays. We're going to have a vehicle we're going to be able to play with. Work with the tools, the equipment. I mean, get a hands-on experience that we just don't get anywhere else. This is amazing.
This seems like an event that should be repeated every year.
We were just talking about that here at the table. Is it going to be something every year? I think that the interest will be there. I think what we have here today for these next 2 days are the cream of the crops of shop owners and futurists and just shops who see what's coming. It's amazing. I mean, and at the same time, I think what this is going to be is we're going to take this and we're going to create so much buzz about it that we hope it festers into something much larger. Every year.
Great to see you, my friend.
All right, Carm. Thanks, buddy.
I'm here with Carolyn Coquelette. Hey, how was that first day?
I really enjoyed it. This is like, we're so lucky to have Donnie and everything he's put together here.
What was your biggest takeaway from today?
The statement that we're not going to have autonomous vehicles, we're only going to have automatic vehicles, that was fascinating.
I've been talking to some guys about that, and ladies, and I think it's all about marketing, don't you think? You say the word autonomy to a person who says, I'm not going to get in a car if I can't sit behind the wheel. But if you tell the consumer you're going to get an automatic car, meaning it almost has a connotation that you have to be a little involved, is that the smarter way to sell that future technology?
Her idea was that we're never going to be able to manage a car that can deal with all of the variables without help. Exactly. Which was really refreshing. For her to just call out and be like, never. The answer is never. I mean, that was there. The whole room was like, what? And then there was another guy who questioned, was like, wait a second, did you just say that? That was pretty cool.
Very good. Eric Carlson, what was your take on the first day?
Very, very informative. I'm really glad I came down here. Yeah.
You both have been on the podcast before. Thank you so much. Yeah, so much to learn, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely.
So are you loving the idea that this technology is coming? You're not afraid of it.
Oh, no. I'm thrilled with it. I think it offers up a multitude of possibilities for all of us. I mean, to continue to make money and be employed and be around cars. I couldn't be more thrilled. I'm almost sorry I'm 60 and not younger. I mean, where you could be in it for a longer period of time.
Eric, 60's the new 50.
I'm not going to say anything about that. Okay, I'll take your word for it.
You're saying we've got plenty of work to go around, right? The work's not going anywhere. We're looking at $250, $350 labor rates here.
Yes, we are.
Yep.
Because there's no way you're going to be able to do this job, based on what we heard today, for $100 or $100 and a quarter.
No, that's you a can't. Big opportunity for this industry.
I was sitting next to Bill Nalu, and I bumped him, and I said, wow, autonomy car labor rate.
And you hear on IETN constantly that the techs are underpaid, and this whole service business of working on cars is the underwaged for everything. Everybody needs to get their labor rate up to at least $150 or $200 an hour. Well, that's not going to happen until these get on the road. Then it'll happen. I mean, and great. The techs today need to make a better wage than they're making.
You're not going to recruit them. They're not going to stay unless they earn some money.
Right. Absolutely.
You agree with that, Carolyn?
Well, we're talking about technology that's already on the cars today, but the customer is still driving the car, right? So it's hard for them, oh, yeah, I can make do without that thing or without this thing, or why is this so expensive? Suddenly, when the car's driving you, oh, yeah, let's make sure the car's okay.
Wow, that's powerful.
Sure, go right in. Yeah, please fix that.
Hit that brick wall.
It's one of those, you know what, I can't do without.
Yeah, exactly.
So fix it.
Yeah, exactly.
And how much is it?
Yeah. Right.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah, exchange, right? If you're going to have the technology, you're going to have to pay for it.
I'm with Frank Lloyds, Wrench Nation.
Desert Car Care, Wrench Nation. I got to tell you, if they would have said to me, it would cost you double to see Mr. Hobbs of Delphi, I would have easily paid triple. Amazing information dispensed. Mr. Hobbs does an amazing job. Lots of information easily swallowed. We need more of Mr. Hobbs in our industry.
He really served it up.
Absolutely.
Really simple.
Absolutely. And what I gathered from a technical point of view, being from the desert, where we have 150 degrees on a regular basis, is that we're probably going to see a lot of the technology flaws based upon temperature. That's what I gathered. Of course, during the course here, the seminar, we did see some TSBs regarding temperature, as it would affect cameras and so on. So lots of great stuff. Lots of great stuff.
What about tomorrow? Can it get any better?
Well, you know, the way I see it is it depends on how the consumer is going to receive it. You know, we've got a lot of information on the internet. We've got a lot of information on YouTube. We need to continue as an industry being an authority before we have some guy on YouTube in his garage telling us how we're going to fix LIDAR. So we need to be on the front lines of dispensing the actual factual information and not sort of what we see on the digital side of YouTube.
I'm with Ray Fisher, ASA Michigan.
Hey, Carm, how are you?
I'm great, Ray. What'd you think of day one?
I think it's fantastic, and I'd love to have seen the room tripled in size.
I think the when the word gets out of how good this was, this may be a twice-a-year event.
Or maybe more, and we'd love to see it rotate around the country, actually, to make it a little bit more available. But we got to get people in the seats. And I'm just encouraged by all the knowledge that was in that room today. And I see nothing but greatness going forward.
It was wonderful. Bill Nalu, what'd you think of today?
I thought it was enlightening, to say the least. You know, I'm so proud to be a hometown. This is this is happening in my backyard. And the fact that, this is the town that put the industrial age. This is where we invented the industrial age. And to have us moved off of that. You know, and to be touting, you know, the information age and the fact that manufacturing wasn't what we thought it was, and we've been talking this talk for 20 or 30 years, and to see now what manufacturing and information technology put in together, and to see this town coming back the way it is, and to have it happen here right now, I can't say how proud I am to have all of you here.
Your biggest takeaway from today?
The integration of technology looking forward at autonomous vehicles is exactly where we need to be moving as aftermarkers. And we were autonomous for way too long. It's time to integrate and become, to have a protocol, to have a process in which we are going to provide our goods and services to our consumers. And if we don't do that, then we will continue to underperform for our consumers as well as our employees and as well as our families. We will continue to be undervalued in the greater goods and services industry.
This almost shows you a pathway to that.
Absolutely.
Craig O'Neill, how are you, man?
I'm very good. It's good to see you here.
What'd you think of your first day here?
Oh, it's amazing. We've been looking forward to this event for quite some time. I'm with a young crew in our shop, and we have a long future in this industry, and this is a major part of it.
None of this is foreign to you, is it?
No, it is not. We've been well-read on the subject for quite a while, and we've actually been blessed to have heard Donnie speak in November, actually, on a more truncated version of the topics today. And I found it to be very, very encouraging. As the future for the aftermarket in particular is still very, very bright. There's a lot of opportunities. There's a lot of potential for a good living to be made, and for young people to be able to see the opportunities in this industry as automotive technicians, as automotive professionals. It seems unrealized by the general public, but it is so there. And the more we can learn, the more we can represent this to the public, the more opportunities that we can express, that creates the new lifeblood for this industry.
Very smart. Thanks, Craig.
Thank you.
Now back to the roundtable interview at ASA Connected Cars 2017 Detroit. The discussion continues.
I know this is going in an interesting direction, and I'm not sure this is what we want to jog down this road, but Ray Fisher's here, ASA Michigan, and, you know, deals with legislation and stuff, and it reminds me of, if you want to be certified, it's something. Say diving, and I'm not a diver, but you have to stay up on things. You have to. It's almost like we've come into this room. We've seen the future. It's going to continue to change. Where are the different levels that the guys that are out there who aren't here, those 60, 70,000 people, where is, I don't know, it's not the governing body. Where is ASE? Where is something that says these are the next levels that you have to educate yourself in and become certified? Is there going to be an ASE new level, you know, another an L, whatever number it is, that says this is what automatic safety systems on cars are about?
Well, I think the integrity of validation is going to be paramount going forward and continue to escalate as a qualifier. I truly believe that. I think the nice thing this time around is we've always heard that you know, for decades, those of us have been try to be at the leadership level or at the forefront of automobile repairs, whether it be collision or mechanical. We've always taken the training and the expenditures, getting the equipment, et cetera, et cetera. And then we hear, yeah, well, so-and-so down the street, and it was just as good, and I didn't, you know, at half the price. This time around, I think we've got the integrity. The integrity's always been there. It just hasn't been supported. And I think this time around, what we're going to find out is the validation is, yeah, you went down the street, or you did it this way, or you did it that way. The car won't start, and now you got $1,000 repair.
You're right. The cruise won't work. The car won't start because they put out fault
and
codes.
And suddenly, John Q. Public's going to pay attention. And the story is going to be written.
Let me add one to this, Carm, because this is actually something that was another takeaway for me, something that I would like to get more of the word out to our membership and a greater industry. There are things that are going to show up at your shop where the issue, one of the core issues of the repair, doesn't show up until the car is repaired and it's down the road 15 miles and something else triggers a light on the dashboard that says, you got something else wrong with your car. So the case in point was we had Volkswagen here, and they talked about a vehicle that was maybe in a collision accident in the rear, where maybe the thrust angle of the rear was changed. They said, okay, great. The shop is going to go ahead and repair that car. There's no dash lights on. They repair the car. They do a scan. There's nothing there. And then the customer takes the car. They take the car home, and they drive home 5 miles. And then the next day, they decide to go to work. As they're on their way to work, now we're at the 15-mile mark since the vehicle was in its accident, and a dash light comes on that says the front radar's not working. How did that happen? So what's wrong with the front radar? So I'm going to take it probably to my local dealership if it's under warranty. Maybe I'll take it back to the shop, but since it was in a rear accident, I wouldn't think I'd be taking it for somebody to look at the front radar. So having those conversations with the consumer is important, but educating the shop is more important because ultimately we need to get paid to have those repairs done on the front end, because oftentimes, especially in the collision industry, you're not going to get paid for something unless there's a signal there, unless there's something that's damaged. Well, if I say the car is hitting the rear and I need to calibrate the front sensors, an insurance company would probably laugh at me because there's nothing there that tells me that it needs to be done.
I wrote down trust, customer, and awareness three words earlier as we were circling the wagons here, and I think you just, here it is, I'm driving down the road and a light comes on and says, well, I thought Greg fixed this car yesterday. It's almost like that perpetuated, I don't trust my guy, but there are so many systems. I'm sure that the front isn't working now because something happened, you know, as they were trying to calibrate each other internally and work together. By the way, before you speak, Joe, Greg, you said something earlier about traveling salesman and the weight in his car if he's got stuff. And it goes back to your whole mobility strategy in transportation. But if that was the case, fill it up and then adjust and then calibrate the car.
Well, the thing is that you're going to have to educate and train the driver, the motorist of that vehicle, who owns that vehicle, that you can't move your house in the back of a Chevy Cruze. You know, you're not going to load it up. I mean, it's not built that way. You're going to have these issues. And why even begin that process when you should be renting a truck? You know, I mean, those kind of things are going to be, I believe, and again, I go back to what I'm trying to do, is to have an ongoing educational situation within Buckley's.
Got it. Educating the consumer that if they want that car to run and to perform its safety features as it rolled off the lot, you have a certain level of responsibility.
Right, and we're starting off on the inside of the vehicle with the interior, with the smallest of things that grab the heart first, and that's the child. So, you know, taking that safety route, moving in there, that's our entry point. Because for every parent, for every grandparent, for every caretaker, you know, there's nothing that is going to outweigh the safety of my child. And moving in that front, by focusing on that issue first, we're now starting to get into the interiors and advising them on how to keep a clean interior or a properly structured interior, where, you know, so we're becoming that go-to resource. And this is exactly what we want to do. From that point on, we can take that conversation into, don't overload the vehicle. Make sure your cameras are aligned. You know, you're bringing that in for the safety side. Keep it safe, keep it simple.
something today for me that was a bit of a takeaway is we gone from the point of doing technical analysis really well as sort of technicians, we advise, but it almost seemed like today we were introduced to a new thing called behavioral analysis. And so in all fairness, that poor technician that didn't know about all that stuff in the trunk, which changed the camera angles, that wasn't presented, that all that stuff was removed. So here's the technician who drives, all things operating as designed, couldn't reproduce. So now at our counters, as we're advising, we're almost diving in sort of the behavior a lot deeper than the just, you know, did it do it this morning or when it was cold or hot.
And I thought about that for a second, just is that why don't we have a weight sensor in that trunk, which could give a code? You know, say that it had a
version 1.2 coming.
Okay, yeah.
Greg, it's right. It's not weight; it's a level. You're almost on a level.
You know, something. Yeah,
leveling system.
Right. So if you had a code that said that for an extended period of time, we had an additional weight situation or a leveling situation that went on, that would trigger the question: well, why did this? Why were you below X spec, you know?
Got it. Whatever. Jeff Buckley has been in the room, and Jeff, I haven't given you a chance to speak up, my friend from Midlothian, Texas.
You know, this is just really interesting, and like the other guy said from ASA, is we got numerous people in the room, and so you have from different industries. You have from the collision industry, you have from the repair industry, and you have guys that more into the new tech, and we're trying to bring in the new technology. And that's part of the deal, that we can look around the room and say, okay, what is it that we're needing to do? As Frank and Greg and myself do a lot of social media, it comes down to our responsibility to help get the word out, to share, because we're not doing how-to videos. We're trying to educate the consumer. So as they come into the shop, we can reach a certain group. But now we have to reach out beyond that and educate the more that we can. We need to let more people know of the other shops about CARM's radio podcast. So then the word gets out. Then they can listen to the ones that have been to the deal.
But you guys, you and Greg and Frank are doing such a great job in communicating the need for good auto repair, for good high-quality auto repair, and that's a broad subject. It's not as easy as you think. A professional needs to do it, and I wrote down the word communication, and I've had some interviews recently where the guys say, we're working so hard on communicating everything we've done, all of our certifications, what our shop stands for, not only on the front side of the transaction, but very importantly at the back side. So when you think about all the safety and the automation for safety in the car today, you almost need to open up a brand new paragraph in your dialogue with the customer ad nauseum over and over again and explain that. Been to a seminar. Here's what's going on. That's why you trust us.
Well, and another thing that Frank shared earlier was that, and Frank's a member of the ASA, and we had the ASA guy, and this one here's from Michigan Association. Is Frank shared that we can use that to share that to bring more people into this group, into these organizations, so that the word gets spread. So it's like, okay, well, what can we do new to bring these guys in to tell the other shops? This is one of the deals doing this training event. You know, they sent out these invitations nationwide. They sent out in the trade magazines. And still, you know, there was still room for more people here.
Well, I really think I don't know, Ray, you would know, but I know that Donnie was going for about the same number that showed up because the room was as big as it was full.
Yes, but it was kind of a tough pull, quite honestly. We filled it. I mean, we did what we
at the last minute then?
Our goal was, but it should have been a situation where
oversold
it. Yeah, I mean, you put out, you say Elton John's coming to Ford Auditorium, and all of a sudden it's sold out in 15 minutes, and another show is put on, and that's sold out in 15 minutes.
I don't think they knew Carmel was going to be here.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
And yet something of this significance something of this significance, we have to find out whether somebody's golfing that day or out boating or other things. And I don't mean to be negative in that aspect, but our priorities sometimes aren't where they should be aligned for what's coming at us.
It's like when you say connected cars, we didn't really know everything that they were going to talk about. They say, okay, we'll get connected cars. And a lot of this stuff is already in the vehicles now. The backup cameras, the side sensors, the ones that go over the car and have a view all the way around it. And like the guy from Volkswagen said, some of the stuff is already in there. They just haven't turned it on. So then when we look at the organizations and we say, okay, this is one organization that can change it, then we talk about the certifications. Well, then we also have ASE. And ASE needs to get the word out, too, and say, hey, look, here's some new technology. We have to do some more training. So it goes back on both. It goes on the industry, and then it goes back on us on getting it shared and educating the consumer, because they get in the car and they say, well, what's this new button for? Well, what's these buttons down here for? And they don't always know. And now we're adding new technology that will put on the brakes, that will turn the steering wheel. And they say, well, how can it turn the steering wheel? Oh, well, because now you have electric steering motor instead of a power steering pump, you know, and now your brakes, we have an actuator on there.
Thank you, Jeff, for that. Joe, you had something to say 10 minutes ago.
I forgot that, but I thought of three more things.
All right. I'm okay. Yeah, I need you here. Talk to me. Yeah.
So the way, you know, looking at this big picture thinking for our industry, this is an absolute time that we get to reinvent ourselves, because for years we've been portrayed not in a positive light, like we should be, right, for the good shops. There's the bad shops that did what they did. So, you know, looking at that, you know, what do we have to do in order to accomplish that, right? And with ASA and what Dan was saying, we need a lot more communication between the body shop business and the mechanical side business. We need that. We're in this together, whether we realize or like it or not, because if we don't work together and a car goes in for body work and then comes to us for an alignment for $29, which those days are gone, right? Mm-hmm. There has to be communication where not only do the, because you asked, are we ever going to get paid because we're appreciated by the consumer? That's up to us, right? They want the car fixed right. If we fix these complicated cars correctly, we're not going to have a problem getting what we want because we've served them properly. And you always get paid for that. So the excitement for me is looking at this saying we absolutely now have a time where we can take this new technology, educate consumers like you guys are doing on social media, which we should all be doing, working with associations like ASA, pulling together the industry and working as a team, we can really turn this thing around. So that's where I see it going. It's very exciting.
You know, and we're professionals. You never see a surgeon operating separately from an anesthesiologist. And so that's where we need to bridge our collision and mechanical repair industry along the same lines, that they go hand in hand and one doesn't work without the other anymore.
Can you imagine what a tragedy it would be if a year from now we haven't made any progress? And this is the example. A consumer comes to the repair facility and speaking to an independent repair facility, and the repair facility owner or the service writer has nothing to say about this other than the fact that, hey, you know what? I'm sorry that it's going to cost $400 to calibrate, you know, this vehicle for this. It wasn't my decision. You know, it's the automakers that get to make all the calls, rather than be armed with the fact that they're looking at this from the consumer standpoint, and that all of this that we're doing is to reduce deaths and to make the automotive driving experience more effective, more efficient way to get us from one place to another. Imagine if we spoke like that as an industry. Insurance companies recognize the value that we provide. The automakers need the aftermarket just as badly as we want to be in it.
It's like technology is here. It's rapid, it's important, and we are here to fix it.
We have a place in this if we're willing to claim it.
Yes. I just wanted to add something. A lot of us do a ton of work with local media.
And some of the problem that we're having right now, and I hate to use the phrase fake news, but we know that this technology right now, guys, and for the gals out there listening, all of us together in this industry, we know that a lot of this is blazing. Today's and yesterday's, and we continue with this conference. So my point is, for those of us that are in the front lines of dealing with local media, and I've had my fair share of 50% of what was presented as what was thought to be the story was not accurate. So we as an industry need to take on that accountability. And then one more thing about kind of getting the rest of the industry, because it is a shameful thing that we've got we shouldn't have less than 1,000 garages and owners and collision folks in here. You know, I don't have a direct silver bullet for that. And we try our best through the avenues digitally of what we're doing to get that word out. And Carm, I know you're doing the same, but it's tragic, to be quite frank with you. There was a chock full of goodness out here today.
I would like to introduce Joe Register, who's from AutoCare.
Hi.
Emerging Technologies, the director of. Hey, welcome. Glad you could make it.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
How do you see it, Joe?
Oh, I mean, this is a tremendous event. Just to be perfectly candid, this is the first time I've seen technicians receiving this kind of information and being, you know, having access to people who are the thought leaders behind like ADAS technologies and the way to be able to repair cars in the future. It's going to be, you know, increasingly important for every shop to understand this technologies that are in these vehicles, how to repair them, how to work with them. And we hear nothing about it except the connectedness of all the components that are in the car. You can't just isolate your work anymore to one discrete component. It's not like just replacing a part. So you have to understand how the whole vehicle works and how it's interconnected in order to make repairs properly. Access to the right information, knowing how to get that information on a timely basis, and then you know, having the training and the education to be able to apply it. That's going to be absolutely critical for us going forward.
I'm just going off of what everybody else is saying. I think that, you know, going back to the opportunities that are available to us are going to be endless, like you said, Joe. You know, we've got the opportunity to really make a change. And, you know, what we're going to be tasked with, from what I've, you know, experienced in the last 2.5 years developing some things, is that there – The other associations and affiliations that are part of vehicle safety are so loose, and they're so disoriented is a kind word to say, that, you know, the burden of a motorist and learning how to drive and doing all that is going to fall on us. I mean, we're going to be asked to do these things. A couple examples is that we realize that the younger generation isn't driving now. They're not getting their license. They're not really asked to get their license. It's not something they have to have anymore until maybe they're 18 or 20 years old. Now, here's an example of where I say things change. I wrote an article called Whiz Kids for a local magazine. And, you know, with our format change, the advertisement was there. And within the day of the release, I get a call from a new customer from who read the magazine and said, "Can you help me train my kids to drive?" Right. And they've already been through class. Yeah, it's funny. And I go, I can, but I'm not there yet. You know, I said, it's part of the model that we're building. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. And I said to myself, okay, that fits the mold, because we're not getting them to get their license now. But what are these drivers going to be like if we don't train them, if we don't educate them now, when they hop into a car that is not fully autonomous, and we learn about autonomous or automatic, what's it going to be?
Yeah.
So if you know what I mean?
During my walk arounds last night, I asked that question to a bunch of, I think it was you, Greg. Yeah. I asked it of Carolyn Cocolette. I asked it of Donnie. And I think we're onto something here.
Yeah, the unfamiliarity of being in the vehicle, of course, with ergonomics, the people, and just not young kids, but all people are going to be going, all right, what do I do? And you know, the dealer network is only interested really in moving metal and paper, right? So where do we stand? When we talk about a transition into another level of business or to help with the experience, we really are truly the only people who are day in and day out touching a car, knowing how it drives. Why don't we take that to a monetary situation?
You know, thank you for that. I'm gonna call that the last word. Part of my responsibility here is to be sure I get you to the next seminar. And so I want to thank Frank Lloyds, Jeff Buckley, Bill Nalu, Greg Buckley, Ray Fisher, Joe Hansen, Joe Register, and Dan Risley, who went out to be sure everything was working, for being here in this really, really incredible roundtable. I mean, talk about it's fresh. You want to have the last word? Go ahead, Ray.
No, Carmen. Eight different people with one same opinion coming out of this.
Yeah. A lot of great stuff.
Loud and clear.
This is going to resonate with the industry. Thank you, guys. How enlightening to hear from so many industry leaders at the Connected Cars Conference in May 2017 in Detroit, Michigan. We were at the perfect venue as it related to present and future technology from some of the industry's brightest trainers and engineers. ASA and Donnie Cypher offered an important glimpse into the world of the connected car, and for many of the participants, this helped solidify what the future will look like as we see how new technologies affect the world of automotive diagnostics and repair. Like all episodes, there is a show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/E226. Hey, share this great discussion with your industry peers via social media, sharing your newsletter, or even clicking on the social shares while visiting my website. And thanks for all you do to help bring these insights to the world of the aftermarket. Until next time.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.